What's up, guys? Welcome. I'm going to give it a second. To the, I guess you can say, triumphant return of the By the Way podcast. Yeah. I'm just going to let this play out a second. Give it a second. Go. Yeah. That's some Killswitch Engage off of their new album, Incarnate. All right, I'll stop it there. That's from the, like I said, from the Killswitch Engage album, Incarnate, which actually just came out the day before recording of this here episode of the By the Way podcast. I do want to point out I'm going to get into a review of that album later in the show. I've got other stuff to talk about. I'm sure about five of you have been wondering. You know, I'll get the elephant out of the room, because I'm sure people are wondering what my take on the situation is. I know it was talked about on my old show, I should say. But no, I don't think anybody really got to hear my side of it. And I decided to put off this recording of this episode so I didn't sound like, you know, like the bitter ex-co. I wanted to calm down and let initial reactions just simmer down for a few. So that's why it took so long from my leaving Brain Stew Radio until the recording of this first episode. I wanted to have a clear, level head and not be passionate about the situation. That's, you know, and again, for those of you who are living under a rock, that's right, I am no longer a part of Brain Stew Radio. That has been known for a while, but, you know, some people might not have heard. If you're in that community and you're just listening, you may have had your head in the sand for a few months. I don't know. But so let me get into my side of it, because I'm sure there were some things that were insinuated about differences going on and why I left the show. Now, here's the thing. Everything that's going on with me as far creatively is of my own thought. So if anybody is of the belief that it was caused by anybody else, you're either delusional or you don't know me well as you think you know me. Now here's the thing. My views of what I find entertaining have changed, and there's some things that I didn't want to associate with anymore. That's just the plain and simple fact. And yes, there is someone who was kind of given the blame for that. But the reason that person did was because that person, who you may know is also formerly of Brain Stew Radio, she really just was tired of hearing me complain about it and was giving me an opening to voice that opinion. Now, because I just felt that my opinion didn't have as much value there as as it did. That maybe that's on me. I don't know. But that's just how I felt. I just, like I said, I felt like it was two people running the show. I wasn't one of them. And that was that. So eventually I decided for a while, and you could tell, I mean, if there's a video element to Brain Stew now, you could tell I was just getting this detached from all of it. Yes, there was some like weird personal stuff that happened that got to me. I like certain things about me that were put out there that when I wasn't even in studio, and other stuff that's happened since then that kind of added fuel to the fire. But I think that this was gonna happen eventually. The good thing about the other drama that didn't involve creativity getting into the mix of that is it led to us getting to the like gist of it, and the fact that I've just gotten different creatively than the others on the show that are still on the show. And in a way, that's a good thing, because it's better that it happened the way it did and I'm still friends with Hammy than it having gone so long that we've got an Opie and Anthony situation. So a part of me, like in hindsight, part of me is grateful that it played out the way it did, because it would have been much uglier had it happened one way, or it happened the way it could have happened. Now, I don't know, I've just been feeling underappreciated as well, just in general in radio. I mean, I felt like an outsider for a while in a lot of circles that I was like used to be a key part of. And I don't know, like it could be other stuff that I'm going to touch into later that caused me to just kind of take a back seat. I mean, and then after a lot of stuff went down between certain shows, I did take a bit of a step back and looked at what the priorities were. But I should have been more communicative. I get it. But I feel like after certain events that I just wasn't just part of the group anymore. Now I felt like an outsider for a while, not just in Brain Stew, but all, you know, just other circles that we're in, that we're involved in. So that's one thing that I do want to point out. And that's, again, this is just me getting this out of the way, because there's other stuff I want to do. I did not want to spend 20 minutes talking about it. So that's it. Hammy and I had a conversation at a Starbucks, which I guess we can call the Brain Stew equivalent of Applebee's, and we talked it out. And I think Hammy finally realized in that conversation that everything, all the changes have been me. People make the joke of me being a hipster and everything, but it might be true. Like, it's at this point, it's not a bit. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to call myself a hipster, but it's getting to the point where even my mom is cracking jokes. So I guess if the shoe fits, wear it. If the sand shoe fits, wear it, I should say. So there's that. Now, he realized that, no, this is me. This is not being influenced by anybody else, because I'm not influenced by anybody. I'm way too, like, I've got this like rebellious streak when it comes to being influence. Sometimes I should just let it happen and it'll improve aspects of my life, but it's just always how I am. So that elephant in the room is out of the way. I'm going to talk a bit about my podcasting future, because now that I'm not part of Brain Stew Radio, there's going to be different ways to hear my voice. This is going to be one of them. This is going to kind of be my baby. This is like whatever I feel like doing. So there's going to be episodes that are going to be mostly funny and mostly comedic. There's going to be episodes that are deep and are introspective and just personal, dark, dingy. And there's going to be ones where I'm just having fun and doing goofy stuff that normally would get shat on the main show on Brain Stew. And listen, that part of the creative difference is that I want to take things that might be considered like just mainstream, like, for example, just goofy, fun stuff. Not like in the morning zoo variety, because I'm not afraid of sounding like that for a bit. But just if I want to do something, I want to be able to do it and not have any resistance to it. And the best way for that is for me to actually concentrate on this mostly. So so that's one thing. I'm actually been doing a podcast that hasn't been released yet with one Mr. Western Echo, or Dennis, I believe, as we're calling him on the show, and Rose, who you know as Rose from the chats in Brain Stew and MLR and Cousin Joe and all that. So yeah, so I'm doing, it's called Tea and Crumpets. That one, it's going to be a general talk show. We're going to have different country themes like England and all that. So that's one to look out for. And one thing too, like, people probably think, oh, there's no more like working relationship between Mike and Hammy. That's not true. We're actually going to be bringing back Brain Stew Wrestling pretty soon. Probably closer to WrestleMania time, because, you know, kick it off at WrestleMania time, get back into all the stuff we're doing there, you know, have that, it'll be a blast, and I'll have fun with it. This show is more than likely going to be posted on Brain Stew along with More Like Radio. I've got to make sure that I'm still welcome to post the show there, and, you know, just do all that stuff. Now that I got that stuff out of the way, I want to talk about something that just brings joy to my life, and that is the Deadpool movie. I just want to point out how amazing that movie is. It's Ryan Reynolds. He made a comeback from the Green Lantern movie that pretty much everyone hated. And what I want to point out is this is what happens when you take a character that is very adaptable to film and make it adaptable to film and very, very, very true to the comic. Because this is the most faithful comic book movie that we have seen since Watchmen. The difference is Watchmen, not so easy to make a movie, whereas Deadpool is fantastic and, you know, really, really, really fun to make into a movie. So that's the one thing I want to point out. Now, I loved Ryan Reynolds in it. I mean, the villain was your basic paint-by-numbers villain. I'll point that out. Hit Francis or Ajax. And then you had Gina Carano as Angel Dust, who is a Morlock in the actual comic, so that's not that faithful, but it doesn't matter. And they even changed Negasonic Teenage Warhead to make her like a more powerful mutant than she was in the comics. But I'm not going to complain about those. Those are two minor characters. Colossus, however, I want to point out how fantastic Colossus is in this movie. Like, finally, he has the Russian accent. He looks like Colossus, acts like Colossus in the comic. It is great. And he's kind of like a great straight man to Deadpool's crazy antics. And the fourth wall breaking is there. Bob from Hydra is there. Weasel, Blind Al. I was nerding out. I, at this point, have probably seen the movie at least four times. That's how into this movie I am. When I like a movie, I watch the shit out of it. And there's some great in-jokes. There's some fan, like, they poke fun of Ryan Reynolds playing Green Lantern. The intro, even if you don't like the movie, the intro sequence alone is amazing. Because instead of showing the cast's name, for example, like for Ryan Reynolds, they put God's Perfect Idiot as his instead of his name, and then goes to like a People magazine cover with him on the cover. And then as it's going through, it's like, oh, a hot chick, British villain, CGI character, and for Stan Lee, gratuitous cameo. And it's great, and there's other little references here and there. Like, you see in someone's wallet a card that looks kind of like a Green Lantern-type character. So they've got reference to Ryan Reynolds playing Green Lantern all over the place. Even when he... there's a part in the trailer that you've seen where he's like, oh, just don't make the green suit green or computer animated, which, again, reference to the Green Lantern. Another thing I really liked, too, was the origin story of Wade Wilson as he becomes Deadpool. Two things I want to point out. Morena Baccarin's character, for those who know comics, she is Copy... Her name, it's Copycat. And that, like, they did have a romance before he became Deadpool. So those things are actually very, very accurate to the comic, and I'm happy about that. I'm ecstatic about that. And then also, another thing that I found out, another thing that I liked, he had the B. Arthur shirt on at one point. They actually recreated a scene from the well-received story arc about Bullseye. For those who remember, during that Dark Reign period, when it was like, you know, Norman Osborn was the head of Hammer, which was S.H.I.E.L.D. technically, he actually turned certain villains into Avengers to play superhero for his own means, one of which was Bullseye, dressed as Hawkeye. So in that storyline, he has a seat part where he sneaks into a person's house to order delivery pizza so he can, because he was hired to kill the pizza delivery guy. In the comic, he kills the pizza boy. In the movie, he threatens him to stop stalking a girl. So that's overall, like, and the direction's great. The writing is fantastic. The writers who did this movie are heroes in this one. Ryan Reynolds delivers the lines as you like. Everything is like what you would expect Deadpool to be. Even when he's in the prosthetics, it's like this is Deadpool. This is completely Deadpool. And it was just a great movie. I'm glad it's making a ton of money as an R-rated movie. And also, I'm happy that Ryan Reynolds gets his redemption and the fact that we get just bloody mayhem from a Deadpool movie. It really is the movie the fans deserve. And can I go on a sidebar for a second and say, oh my God, has anybody seen the new trailer for the Civil War 2 or for Captain America Civil War? I'm sorry, I had to draw it out for a second there because I had like a nerdgasm moment. So there's a new trailer for Captain America Civil War, and this one's got Spider-Man in it. I was like, oh my God, I'm watching the trailer. I'm like, what's going on here? This looks awesome. There's a lot in this movie that's, they feature Black Panther a little bit. And then all of a sudden it gets to the end, and Iron Man's like under ruse, and suddenly you see Webb taking Captain America's shield away, and then Spider-Man jumps onto a car with the shield after kind of web cuffing Captain America's hands. And what happened next was just a multiple nerdgasm across the country. Because not only is the costume very much like a Spider-Man costume, they didn't have the goofy raised webbing, the color scheme was on point, but the eyes, the white of the eyes changed sizing the same way it would in the comic. That is a great throwback to past comics from Marvel. They're going to do this right. I think they picked someone the right. I'm glad they didn't try to shoehorn Miles Morales in there. I think Miles Morales, by the way, is a great character. I just think he deserves his own movie. Like, they should make like Ultimate Spider-Man and have Miles Morales be the main character. Give him a different costume and have that be that. So that way, he can be his own character. They don't just have to give him Peter Parker storylines, is what I'm saying. So, So yeah, that left me so excited. Like, you don't even realize how just amazing that is to me. So there's that. Now I'm gonna make it, you know, go a little more serious for a second there. There's other stuff that have been going on in my life. I'm gonna talk about my living situation a bit here. So for those who are wondering, another reason why it took me so long to start doing this show again is because my moving situation has been weird. Like, I for those who remember, I was living with a former third mic of Brain Stew. I call him a third mic, but really he was a guy who was on the show for a little bit named Bill. And here's the problem, though. He wound up having to pay child support out the wazoo, and now he couldn't afford his end of the rent. And I was told of this, like, way late into the process, and we were already told we were being evicted. So, like, I had to scramble, and now I'm pretty much, like, going here. I don't really have, like, a solid place to stay. I'm kind of, like, crashing with friends here and there. So, you know, that's why I don't have a set place. I finally was able to break out my board and start doing the show and recording it. You know, I'm going to start recording it pretty regularly because this is one thing I need just a personal shout box type show. So, and that's why I'm glad I'm able to start recording this again and putting it out there. And I feel like my production, but my editing is going to be a lot better. So hopefully you guys are not having to deal with, like, you know, I used to have hiss in the old episodes and stuff like that. So it's going to be much improved in some ways. It's going to be different in others. I feel like I'm going to be one of those, like, just guys who go to random spots. I'm going to literally be like a guerrilla movement for podcasting. It's going to be great. I am actually thinking of buying a second microphone for this and actually, like, doing on-site interviews with people that I'm going to have as guests. How awesome would that be? Again, this is going to happen down the road. And there's a lot, again, there's a lot I'm excited about the future, by the way. But again, the moving situation, like I said, it's very different. It's going to be a little difficult for a while. I was thinking of just finding my own place somehow. Then I've realized, like, it's going to be tough financially right now with the job that I have and the bills that I have going on. So I want to upgrade my job situation first. And if that takes not having a solid place to stay to do so, then I'm going to do it because I'm tired of just settling in life, which, again, I'll get into that later. But as of right now, I'm, like, not really anywhere concretely. And wherever I do stay for any certain amount of time, I could wind up either getting bored or the other person getting annoyed and kicking me out. So because I know, I get it, I'm a difficult person to deal with for a long extended amounts of time. I can be difficult. I'm trying to work on that, and I'm jumping the gun and talking about stuff that I'm going to talk about later, but whatever. So, you know, Bill, I mean, it was chill and relaxed with Bill because he was barely there towards the end. He was kind of not staying at the place. And then but he's also very relaxed and doesn't care. So, like, it was the perfect, like, roommate situation. I mean, I've got other good, like, roomy situations going on lately, but Bill, like, it was, you know, we stayed out of each other's hair, we hung out once every while, had shitty food for lunch once every blue moon when one of us wanted to vent about the certain situations we've got going on here. Now, one thing I'm going to point out, going back to something that's a little more positive, I'll say, the new Killswitch Engage album came out recently, and I want to point out, it's probably my favorite album they've put out since Alive or Just Breathing. And that's not just me hyping it because I'm a fanboy of the band. Like, I'm a pretty big fan of Killswitch Engage. I think it's anybody who follows me on any form of social media knows this already. I use them to intro this show today, so I use one of their songs. Now, one thing I do want to point out about that, like, the hype factor. One thing I want to point out about the promotion of it. One thing that a lot of bands are doing now that it doesn't make sense. And that is bands releasing songs pretty much like half the album by the time it comes out. I think you should leave some mystery there. Then again, I'm saying this, and I was that guy who was playing the shit out of the songs that were downloaded up until my pre-order of the album came into the mail. So, you know, I say that, but then I don't really stick to that mindset. Now, one thing as well about that album, it's Jesse Leach's finest vocal work. And they stepped their musician up from the last album big time. It's very diverse. Very, very diverse. Like, for example, there's a couple songs that kind of remind you of Alive or Just Breathing or As Daylight Dies. There's songs that actually... There's one song that sounds very 80s metal. Like, it's weird. Like, it's weird for them, but it's a very... It's, like, one of the best songs in the album. They bring back some of the acoustic intros that they had for, like, Alive or Just Breathing in their earlier work. There's, like, more, like, just hardcore songs. And it's a great mix. Again, Jesse's lyrics on point. Like, there's been that debate, Jesse versus Howard, going on ever since Jesse returned to the fold. And I feel like this is the album that kind of put that shit to bed, because he like, the last album they did, like, he came in late into the process and put the vocals in because they had already wrote the album, but Howard had just, he had just quit. They hadn't picked the vocalist yet. Now, like, this is Jesse Leach plus the band as a whole making the album, and it's very personal. Like, holy shit. Like, for those who are familiar with Jesse Leach, he would do lyrics that, like, very, like, spiritual lyrics, very just, like, about peace. And this time, it was just, he went into something about his depression, getting over that, like, all the aspects of that. There's the song that I introed, Quiet Distress, is actually about, like, domestic violence, and it's inspired by a situation where him and his wife were living next to a couple where the guy was beating the girl with the girlfriend. So, and, like... And that, and another situation that he's heard about. So, it's again, not about him, but still very personal. There's songs like Hate by Design, for example, is about another friend of his, but it's also about how people, like, just raise their kids to hate people, like, to, with the same prejudice as the parent had, and how really it's just a rally to just put an end to that shit. So that. And then there's one called The Great Deceit that's a very political song, his views on what's going on in the world today, which I think is refreshing and very much needed in music. Oh, no, you know, a lot of musicians do it, I get it, but, like, his the way he goes about it is a lot better than a bunch of other musicians go. He makes his statement, but he it's not the whole album is his statement. It's that one song is his statement, and it's straight into the point. That's what I like about that. Adam Dukavich's vocals. You know Adam Dukavich, the guy who won the whole shebang on The Price is Right this past year. But Adam's vocals are a little more prominently featured. Because those who don't know, he would do a lot of, like, the growl vocals and a lot of, like, the backing vocals for the band. So, like, they're actually showcased quite a bit more in this album, especially on some of the bonus tracks in the special edition. He's very much a factor there vocally. And again, I've considered him and Jesse to be the metal equivalent of Layne Staley and Jerry Cantrell. Sorry, that was a bit of a pause there. Can you guys take that pause? So, yeah, though, like, it's honestly, it's going to be hard to beat for me this year, not just because it's a Killswitch Engage album and I'm a huge fan of them, but also because it's a great all-around album. Like, everybody I've talked to that have listened to it fucking love the album. There's the few people who are just trolls on the internet who are like, I don't like the album, because they don't like things. That's pretty much the way they are. And they think they're being critical, but they're just being dicks. Really is where it, you know, where it goes around to. So, yeah, there's that. Now, since like that, I mentioned that album, he goes deep into stuff that's going on with him. I'm going to do something that I really don't do much. I'm going to just, like, talk about what's going on in my mind lately. This has been going on for a long time, too. It'll explain a lot about my latter months in Brain Stew Radio. Let's put it that way. And I do want to point out, by the way, there were certain listeners who had fun with certain things that I did those last couple months, because they figure, let's just crack jokes with the guy while he's down and not there. Sorry, had to throw that one out there. But I've been in rough shape lately. That's what I'm going to put it at. So the moving thing happened at the worst time. The drama towards the end of Brain Stew happened at the worst possible time. I don't want to call it depression. I really don't. Only because it's not diagnosed. If it winds up being something else, like anxiety or stress, whatever, it's an insult to people who legitimately have depression if I just go out and say that I have it. I mean, it feels like it is sometimes, and it could be the case. It's undiagnosed, and I'm trying to figure out what the fuck is going on with me. Like, and it's been getting worse lately, and I feel like there's a few factors in it. Which I'm just going to just rip the Band-Aid off right now at this point. For those of you who are familiar, I've dealt with it all my life because I've grown up in not the most stable of situations. My mom tried. She tried to, make the best of it. But a lot of it, it wasn't really her fault. Like, first off, I was born without an actual father. I had my grandfather, but my dad was not around at all from the start. So, you find that out when you grow up. And my family didn't BS me about that. Like, I didn't think I had a war hero father who just died in battle, who died a hero in battle. No, he was a guy who wasn't there. So that's how it started for me. And then my sister had a different dad, and her dad was just a piece of shit. He would get drunk, would have fights with my mom, which, again, why the song Quiet Distress struck chords with me when I drove to work or from work listening to that song. But, that would happen. And as a kid, it's like the most traumatizing thing you can see, because you can't do anything about it except scream and cry. And when someone's drunk and abusive, that's not something that's going to stop anything, because that person just doesn't give a shit. And not only that, but my sister's dad was such a douche that he would tell my sister that, oh, well, the reason why your brother is going to your grandparents and you're not is because they favor him and they don't like you because you're a Blytho. Whatever. I said her last name. Who gives a shit? So he would tell her that stuff, and she ended up having a chip on her shoulder about the family. So there was that start. And then I had that going for me. I wouldn't say I was bullied. I was picked on a little bit, but I was the kid who just wanted to make friends. And there was some people who were douches. A lot of them were cool to me in high school, but back in those formative years, they hit me at a time when I could, I just needed friends. That's all I needed, a distraction from just the shit that was going on. And I made a couple, but just a lot of stuff that stunted me quite a bit. There's one other thing that I don't know if I'm comfortable talking about me yet. I don't know. And this is before I even moved to the whole place I grew up in. But there's stuff that's happened to me that has just damaged me. I should really be worse than I am, and I'm somehow not. But I'm not going to say right now. I don't feel this is the time or place to do so. Just I might one day say fuck it and say it, but I'm not going to. So then there's, I got through high school. I was still I was stunted a little bit. I never dated anybody in high school. I actually didn't really date until my 20s, just because I had this thing growing up where I never ever thought that I was good enough for anybody. And with that, I was shit scared to ask anybody out. Now, Mike Falcone at 33, which is my age now, is a lot, I'm a lot more daring with that. I'll be honest, I don't know how it happened. It took a while, but back then when I should have been daring about it, I wasn't. So, and then add the fact that anytime I got into any kind of a relationship, it would last literally days to weeks at first, because I just didn't know what to do. I didn't have that experience before my 20s. So, so that kind of skewed me a little bit and just led to me. So that stuff happened. All right. Now that's not the main stuff. This is just showing what I've, dealt with up to this point. So there was that. And then, my sister, she's had issues. I've talked about it on Brain Stew. I'll go full depth into this. My sister wound up getting addicted to drugs, like addicted to heroin, like pretty early. And she has kids, so it's a messy situation. And I'm tired of not opening my mouth because so she had a baby. You've heard the baby mentioned, her first daughter, the one that like I actually have an attachment to, because I actually got to like meet her, talk to her for those however many years. And she, you know, like one day, this is how it started. This is how my life took a further shit spiral downward. So one night, I'm going home. I went to bed. I think I had just done a show or something. I can't remember, but like I know something happened and I woke up and I went to bed late. And then I get a phone call. It's from a police officer saying that they had arrested my sister. They haven't brought her in yet because my niece was still there. So they wanted me to come get my niece and bring her back so they could formally arrest my sister and her piece of shit boyfriend at the time. And you know, because they were pulled over. We had suspicions that she was doing drugs. We just didn't have enough evidence to, like, you know, go at it. And she was a good liar. Like, she had, like, when it first started happening, she talked my grandmother out of it. My grandmother, who had been noted, like, witnessed it before, my sister was a good enough liar where she convinced her that my sister being high was her having a miscarriage of a baby. That's how good of a liar my sister can be at the time, especially when she's on drugs. So, that happened. So I went, picked up my niece. The cops had to report it to child services because my sister had drug paraphernalia on her. Somehow they got out of jail. Somehow they got out of the lockup that night. I don't know. But, and then I went there, forgot my license. My mom, you know, brought me down to get my license and everything. We got back. I woke up, and then a couple hours later, here's my timeline for this day. This was like years ago, I want to point out. This was like, maybe 2013, 2014. Whichever year. So this happened, and, then a couple hours later, I get a call from Dyface. They want to just do an interview and see what's going on. Then I get, before that, though, like, but I tried to, right when I went to bed, I got a call from my mom that my grandfather had passed away. So he had just long-standing health issues. A lot of it had to do with weight and other issues, which is why I'm disgusted at myself right now for my physical shape, but because I was getting in the right track and then I completely derailed myself. But that's another part of the story that I'll get to. So, So this happened. Then, you know, my niece was taken away, and this started just a whole cycle of shit with my sister, and it just not depression, but feeling depressed, and just like it took a toll on me. That's why I got as heavy as I got back in the day when I was like almost 400 pounds, was because I was just like, fuck it, I'm done. And so I bounced back for a while, got cocky, I got like thinned, I got cocky. I thought I could handle more than I could. So I was trying to like shoot for the stars, like trying to like start dating again, you know, get that over with, you know, finally like be a human being. But I wasn't a finished product. I wasn't ready for a lot of the stuff because I had never gotten help for some of the stuff that's going on in my life. So there was that. And then I, you know, that just gradually chipped away at my newfound confidence. And then then my sister being a douche, dealing with certain aspects of certain members of my family for over a year, I started going back to all of the calories. And then add a stressful job that I still work at that I kind of want to get out of, because it's just these things that it's doing to me mentally. It's not good. Like it's making all of this worse by having to go through this kind of a job. And so, you know, I've got that going on. And this has been going out for a while. And now just lately, I am just feeling increasingly more worthless. Like, people around me are having life take a toll on them. And I just feel like I'm not a factor in making that better. So that's one thing. But then at the same time, I'm like, I'm so worried about being a factor in making other people better that I'm also not helping make myself better. And so now I'm at this weird point where I'm like, I need to help people, but at the same time, I need to work on me. But I'm also 33. How old, you know, how long is that gonna take? It could take years. I might be so behind in life because I put off doing this stuff for myself. So it's ridiculous. I should have taken like all this time I put off, like, for example, going to see a therapist. At this point I'm trying to, and I'm trying to contact therapists, but there are none that actually take new patients, or I just keep not getting callbacks. So it's like getting to the point where it's annoying that it's like I want to get help, but I can't get help yet. So I've got to, like, I'm still searching. I'm hoping to find one before Tuesday, but if not, fuck. So there's that, and I feel like a useless human being. I know I'm probably not, and it's unfounded, but I do. It's just how it is. It's what happens. That's where I'm going to leave it at that, because I've been talking about it for a few minutes now. I'm feeling a little better talking about it because I didn't really feel comfortable airing it out on Brain Stew or the Nerd Hour, or the Sully, when I was on the Sully Show or 360. Those aren't those kind of shows. This is the kind of show where I can, again, say what I want, do what I want. So that's where this is where it goes out onto. And I have just a lot of stress. A lot of stress that I should be able to handle, but I'm not, because of a cumulative effort of things stressing me out. So that's just one thing there. And I'm at a low point right now. That's how I feel. I'm at the low point where that's why I'm now deciding to finally get help. So, you know, now that you guys have heard me open up way more than I probably should have, let's talk Kanye West, right? Right, guys? So I've taken a great deal of interest in the Twitter ramblings and campaign run of one Mr. Kanye West. So I don't care what people say. He is everyone thinks Donald Trump is going to be this amazing comedic source as a president. Kanye West, if he wins, if he wins in 4 years, are you kidding me? Holy, let's just read his Twitter. Let me give you some samples. All right. Now, no more fashion calendar. I'm going Mad Max. 6 collections a year, 3 albums a year. He calls that going Mad Max. And then he had a whole thing about wanting to get someone dressed as Minnie Mouse for his daughter's birthday. And it started with him asking, is Deadmau5, as in the electronic artist, is Deadmau5 pronounced Deadmo5? And then he kept asking about if they can perform as Minnie Mouse. And then he said he's detail-oriented. They need to have a Minnie Mouse Deadmo5 head, and to not just take a Mickey Mouse Deadmo5 head and stick a bow on it. The shit that he said, I'm a fix wolves. And again, this is all more interesting than him begging Mark Zuckerberg for money. But it's all fantastic. Like, we need Kanye for comedic entertainment. Like, he's also about how he's not doing CDs anymore. How the Yeezus, he's like, oh, the Yeezus album packaging was an open casket of CDs. He's doing it all in Tidal now. Like, that's all he's releasing his albums on. He's went all in, pretty much. He also randomly, but I promised Obama I'm gonna do beats on Nas's next album. Like, that's literally something he shared with the world. So I can only imagine what his campaign is gonna sound like. He'll probably look at the first lady and just be like, just quote Gold Digger. You know how fantastic that would be? His campaign, I'm gonna fix wolves. I'm about the super pack. I'm about the super wolf pack. Would be a great, because no one would know what hit him. Like, nobody, not a single person would know what the fuck he's talking about. That's why we need Kanye West. He'll get shit passed because he'll be too busy looking like a complete lunatic that people will just vote for what he wants out there just so that he stops having a tantrum. He is like, he would be the Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-il of presidents, minus the whole holding people at gunpoint and capturing them and forcing them to do things part of it. But the world needs Kanye West. It needs Kanye West at his fullest potential. So, Kanye, please, you need to run. Just don't beg Mark Zuckerberg for the money for your campaign. That is all I ask. I started talking about Kanye's presidential run in 4 years. I feel like I should talk about the presidency, the election coming up this year. I've got my views on it. Let me point one thing out here. I'm I am against Donald Trump running for president. I am completely and utterly against it. And I've got my reasons. You know, one thing that annoys me? Two things, actually. 8 years ago, well, I'll start there. 8 years ago, the things that you know, Republicans were saying about Obama, and a lot of these Trump supporters were saying about Obama, was that he's not experienced enough with overseas matters, and they need someone a little more seasoned for this time of year. Donald Trump comes out, oh, and that, you know, he's a guy who's just kind of using his speaking skills to woo the people on the other side of the political spectrum. Then, so what's happening with Donald Trump? Someone with no political experience, no experience handling overseas matters, and just using shit that he says to woo people on the other side of the political spectrum. Where's the criticism for that? Nobody's critiquing Trump for that. And people are making the Hitler comparison to Donald Trump, and it's partially true. I'll put it that. Like, Donald Trump is racist. He's too young. He's too old to not be racist at some point. Like, he's not like down south hate black people because they're black racist. He's racist and, like, we'll work with them and deal with them, but just he says stuff in the car when he's with his trophy wife, when they see someone, like when he sees a minority on the streets. That's the kind of racist Donald Trump is. So that, you know, like, not like, you know, he's not throw people into an oven and kill them racist, but he's definitely racist, and a lot of his views and a lot of his platform is going to reflect a lot of those views. That's the scary part of it. The thing is though, the similarity to Hitler that I will give, look at the articles about how everybody viewed Hitler back when he was like going into power, when he was starting to get the kind of momentum that it takes to become the leader of a country over there. People thought he was a guy who was just saying outrageous things at a time when a country was in economical despair, that played to the prejudices of a lot of people there in that country. Sound familiar? Sounds a lot like I'm going to build a wall. Sounds a lot like, you know, Donald Trump trying to do the Muslim Registration Act, which I'm just going to call his version of the Mutant Registration Act. It sounds a lot like that. So that's where the similarities are, because I don't think you're going to see like Mexicans put into death camps. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the Senate would allow that to happen. I don't think the wall's going to happen. You think he's going to see how much money it's going to cost to make that stupid wall? Because Donald Trump, this is not Atlantic City. You're not going to be able to grease mobsters to get land permits. All right. You're going to have to actually put more money and more work into it. Because you think the Senate's going to vote for a wall? A wall. This is how insane Donald Trump... He wants to make a fucking wall across the border to Mexico. Because, see, they think that... Listen, they think that's going to deter illegals. They'll just burrow, like, further under the wall to get to the U.S. Or get out of the U.S. at this point. Because if Donald Trump's racist, I think it's going to just be a mass exodus for 4 years. It might happen. This time more so than others. Another problem I have with Donald Trump's presidential run is this is the time where we become idiocracy. We're pretty much becoming reality show voters, and we're not voting for the best person for the job. We're voting for the goofy train wreck that we're just like, we want to see him and DM on TV, and, you know, because our lives are horrible, so we're going to vote this guy here so we can laugh at him for a while. That's dangerous. That is a dangerous precedent itself, and as a country, we are better than that. The other thing I don't like about him, and this is more of a sour grapes thing on my end, but everybody who's like, I want a candidate who says it like it is, first off, Donald Trump does not say it like it is. You can find a lot of things that show he's contradicting himself big time. Stephen Colbert made a compilation, Trump versus Trump, where Trump says things that contradict other things that Trump has said. So he doesn't tell it like it is. He's a liar. He's a businessman trying to play to a demographic, and it's working because people are gullible. So, but my problem is, so everyone's like, I want a person who will shake things up and tell it like it is. You had a viable candidate who was a tell it like it is, shake things up candidate 4 years ago in Ron Paul. You stupid idiots wanted Mitt Romney because you thought he had a better chance of beating Obama. So I find that to be phony. All right. What you're doing is basically the equivalent of the Democratic Party trying to make sure that Hillary Clinton wins the nomination. That's exactly what's going on. That's exactly what went on 4 years ago. You had your chance. Now you think you deserve it because a fucking mouth breather with a bad comb over wig wants to be president because he talks like Chris Christie does. That, yeah, he's a more popular Chris Christie. Of course, Chris Christie stood behind him. Like the little snarling thing on Jabba the Hutt's shoulder. So of course he did that. Because two meatheads think alike. Two mouth breathers think alike. So yeah, I'm not for the Trump. So where does that leave me? Like politically. Obviously not fucking with the Republicans. Because again, sour grapes after what they did to Ron Paul. Not going for it. So like Ted Cruz scares me. Marco Rubio, not seasoned enough. He needs a couple years in the oven to learn how the world works, how the world actually works. And I don't say how the world works like a lot of my conservative friends say to bash liberals. No, how the world works politically, as in, you know, not everything should be changed because a book written by a prophet says so. That's why. So the Republicans are pretty much out of it for me. I don't trust Hillary Clinton. Not at all. Not at all. Like she's and listen, I know there's some people who might like make it a feminist issue because people are against Hillary Clinton. You're delusional. There's better women out there. There's stronger women. You want to call her a strong female candidate? Here's what Hillary Clinton is. She's someone who has flip-flopped numerous times. Again, she's like the female Trump in that aspect. So she's flip-flopped and flip-flopped exponentially from one extreme to another. So that's the first part. The second part of that is she's not a strong female candidate. She stayed with her husband after her husband cheated on her for decades. Decades. Any strong woman would have been out of there. So don't give me that shit that she's a strong female candidate. She's not the best you can do. She shouldn't just be there because she's right now considered an electable female candidate. Just because she's there doesn't mean she should be president, is what I'm saying. So then there's Bernie Sanders, who that's the candidate that I've been supporting, and I know I'm gonna get shit from people I know about that, but I quite frankly don't give a shit what they're gonna say about that. But here's the thing with Bernie Sanders. Bernie's been very consistent in his viewpoints. Most of the people who mention the socialist part probably didn't pick a book up to look up democratic socialism, which, guess what? Actually works in the country they do. Never mind those memes that you're seeing. There are people from those countries who are saying no. Like every conservative who's talking about it has it wrong. And actually, Social Security was actually... is actually a socialist thing. And for those who want to point out that Social Security is not working and that it's like there's a deficit in Social Security, that's because your buddy Bush and his war, well, your buddy Rumsfeld and his war, created a massive deficit that now we've all got to bury ourselves out of. So, thanks, guys. But I'm supporting Sanders because unlike Hillary Clinton, who plays to the black voters by putting on an accent when she goes down south, and, you know, trying to pull a Rachel Dolezal out every time she's in a southern state. Bernie Sanders has actually helped fight for your causes since he was in college. He got arrested for taking part in civil rights protests. Like, he does not mess around when it comes to that. He also, like, listen, everyone says, oh, he's probably, well, how's he going to pay for this free stuff? It's a reallocation of tax money from stuff that it shouldn't be going to these programs. And, you know, we're so jaded and shitty that no one is allowed to be idealistic and think that there's certain things that should be going on now because we've been getting fucked by the business interests for so long. And that's another thing, too. Like, we're so used to the status quo in this country. We're so used to just being fucked over by big corporations that we're used to it. It's nationwide Stockholm syndrome. That it's what this country has become. And again, I'm sure I'll probably get some shit and comments about it and, you know, if it gets posted on YouTube, or, well, you know, he's a hard left nut. That's right. I saw that. So, that's my take politically. And if Bernie Sanders is inevitably screwed over by the Democratic Party, like the Republicans did to Ron Paul, my vote's going towards Gary Johnson if he gets the Libertarian nomination. I'm just saying that right now. I'll only vote for the main two parties if it's Bernie Sanders. If he's not in it, I'm voting for Gary Johnson. Saying it right now. It's going to be the same exact situation as the Ron Paul situation 4 years ago, where if he was the nominee, the Republicans had my vote. They fucked them over. The Libertarians got my vote. So your move, Democrats, and people, if you're a Sanders supporter and your state's got a caucus coming up, go vote. Go vote. You don't want voting apathy to lead to Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. All right, this is your chance to stop Skynet from happening. All right, it's in your hands. The second you're allowed to vote in Jersey, guess where I'm going? Exactly. So I vote now for the primaries and for those. And, you know, and another thing, too, people are blaming. Listen, I'm not Obama's biggest fan. I've lightened up on him. I'm not a supporter. But how exactly is it easy for him to fix a lot of the things that have been going on here when you idiots also keep voting in Republicans to run the Senate and thus oppose every single thing he's trying to put through? He got Obamacare through, but everything else, it's been a fight and a lot of times a losing fight because everybody wants to make a statement 4 years after he gets president and not allow anybody to anything to actually have traction. That's why these presidents have a rough latter 4 years, because the citizens vote for people on the other side of the party who do not want that person's views to go through. It's just poo-pooing on all of it, is what we'll say. All right. So, and I want to get into some other stuff, too, because I've been going political for way too long today. I mentioned this earlier when talking about when I left Brain Stew. My views politically, or comedy-wise, have very much changed. Like, I haven't been doing comedy as much lately because, A, I've been just feeling like a shit, just complete and utter dog shit. And also because I'm in this weird place where I want to do something different comedically when it comes to what I do on stage. And I've recently started doing that. I've been going more political with my humor. And I feel like that's where where I can be very funny. Like, it's open mics where I normally don't do well. I've been and open mics that actually have other comics that I don't know as well, and audience, like actual people there, like it's going over a lot better. And it's a demographic that I feel most in tune to, which is that like 18 to 35 demographic of men and women. So I feel like that's a better turn for me. And I've got a really good one about the nomination, about the current like election process that is going over pretty well. Like, and it's great. And then I'm going to get to, you know, bash Trump for a little bit. And then just go into all sorts of other stuff. It's going to be fantastic. And it's so far going over well. Yes, I'm going to do some more personal material like I've been doing. But like the fact that I just feel more comfortable writing everything I want to write, that actually is going to make me feel pretty good. I should also plug some shows that I've got coming up. April 1st, I'm going to be hosting for Joe Conte's birthday show. It's going to be at the Comedy Shop in Mount Arlington at the hotel there. Just go to jjcomedy.com. I have a phone I could check, but April 2nd, I'm going to be at Cabana Grill doing the 8-minute dating show. Well, now, I'm not doing 8-minute dates. It's like a speed dating theme. It's 8-minute sets of a male and a female comic doing their thing, whether it be like an improv thing where they work together or each doing material. Again, it depends on the two people who are put together. So, I got those shows coming up. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun weekend. I'm going to try to get off of work that Saturday so I don't have to wake up early and then do shows. You know, just how it is. So, that's going to be an awesome weekend. It's going to be a fun one for me. It's like 2 weeks away. You guys should definitely check either one or both of those shows out. Comedically, I'm different. Like, on stage, I never really went into racial humor. I think I have potential, but I don't think I've got the kind of mind that can do racial humor. Some people do it well. Some, both white and black comics, there are some that can do it amazingly well. If I can't be that good with racial humor, I'm not going to do racial humor. At least, you know, not the so-and-so does this, so-and-so does that type humor. So I'm just staying away from it. I will make fun of certain situations involving race. Like the whole shitstorm that's going on now, which, as you might have noticed, I'm a little more liberal on that than other things. But that's, you know, joking about that, no problem, none whatsoever. But it's a new, I feel different comedically, and I've been like struggling because I've been having writer's block, but I'm also like, I don't want to do the same material that I've been doing, because I've already got it in my mind, or to the point I haven't thought of anything else to revise those with. So I'm going a complete different direction with my writing for a while. And the stuff that's coming out of it is gold. Like, I'm going to be doing a bit about Kanye West running for president. Like, how awesome is that going to be? Right? I know. And, yeah, like, and again, I'm going to do, like, social stuff. I want to be more guy who, not topical, but, like, talk about things we say, do as a society more. I want to get more into that because I don't really have the life experience to become a great personal comic. But I'm a big enough of a douche where I can do the social commentary comedy that a lot of times goes over pretty well in certain areas. Probably not so much so in, like, the Midwest, but whatever. They're also the ones who are voting for Trump. Am I right, guys? So, yeah, that's a change coming from me. And again, like, I've got a likable demeanor, so I'm playing to that as well. Like, for a while, I was being, hey, let me say something fucked up because I'm a likable guy. And that worked for a bit, but I got bored with it. I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to realize what's me and what's not me comedically. And I'm implementing that a lot more in the nights where I'm getting, you know, practicing comedy and doing that. So I'm glad that this, a lot of stuff's happened that's happened, because it's making me realize so much, and I'm grateful for it. I'm very thankful for a lot of what's been going down. So again, now we're going to wrap up a little bit. I want to talk briefly about one more thing, just real quick. Daredevil comes out next week, guys. It's going to come out on the 18th. I don't know when the show is going to post, but it's going to come out on the 18th. I'm probably going to react to the first couple episodes when I record, because I'm going to have the space to. I'm going to have watched some episodes. I might even record an episode of this with an episode of Daredevil playing, and I can, you know, do some commentary on it for you guys to watch. I don't know. We'll see. Not like running commentary, just like reaction commentary to it. But again, we'll find out. We'll see. We'll get stronger for it. We'll become one as a nation of people. Not the Nation of Domination, though. I can't rock that. Not that I don't like them. They were a great stable in the WWF in the late 90s. I can't rock the Dashikis. I'm fat again, all right? I would just look like a African ball. And not like a fun one. Just a sloppy, sad one. That's what would happen. So, yeah, I mean, that's the gist of what's going on with me. I mean, I'm gonna talk about more. I just wanted to post this to clear a lot of the air out, just to let things out that I've been holding back lately. So, I hope you guys enjoy the episode. There's gonna be more of this. I'm gonna start getting interviews so I don't have to kill an hour each time talking about stupid shit. I want to try to condense it so that my talking is in 20 minutes, and then the rest of it's an interview. So, again, thank you all for that. And like I said, you guys can listen to me every week as I make this on here. And thanks. Hips are punchy on Twitter.